Welcome to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver, and we are glad that you are with us. We are live on American Family Radio. 888-589-8840. If you want to be a part of the show, and we welcome you to call in, whatever's on your heart, whatever's on your mind. This is a show for caregivers. And what we're doing is reaching out to those who are putting themselves between a vulnerable loved one and even worse disaster. Maybe you're taking care of somebody who is aging. Maybe it's somebody who is dealing with a trauma. Maybe it's somebody who has, especially his child, or somebody who is involved with addiction issues. That's a chronic impairment. And if you're in relationship with somebody who has an addiction, alcoholism, a drug addiction, or whatever, guess what? You're functioning as a caregiver. Now, you may not think of it as such, but you are. And this show is for you. And it's for you to be able to have some place to be able to bang around ideas with other folks who are struggling in their own journey as a caregiver. You know, we're not going to get this right every time. But what we're going to do is we're going to encourage each other and strengthen each other so we can stay healthier along the journey. See, the goal is not to feel better. Okay, you're never going to feel better about this. My wife's had 80 surgeries of both legs amputated. She's not going to feel better about it. I'm not going to feel better about it. Okay, but we can be better. We can be better in it. We can be stronger. We can be healthier. I can't fight amputation and chronic pain, but I can fight high cholesterol, weight gain. I can fight being a jerk. And so can you. See, these are things that we have control over as caregivers. I think a lot of times, this is embarrassing, but, you know, why should I stop now? I've embarrassed myself for years. But I remember one time we had been back and forth to the hospital, back and forth to the doctor's office, and it was just, and we had two small children, and I had, we got home from the hospital, and Gracie was sitting in her wheelchair, and she was feeling very insecure, and she was wanting to be helpful, and she felt bad. It was just one of those kind of days. And I, she said, "Can I help you with dinner?" Well, our kitchen was not really set up to have a lot of people in it, particularly one in a wheelchair, but I was just being a jerk that day. And I remember just slamming a cabinet door, and I said, "No, I'll do it. I have to be in control of something." Now that, I mean, yeah, that's embarrassing. Okay, I get it. The only reason I share that on the show is because, you know what? This is what happens to us as caregivers. We feel like we've got to be in control of something. Well, we are in control of something. We're in control of our own thoughts, words, and deeds. But we're not in control of our loved ones' issues. I cannot control what happens to my wife medically. I can't do it. And you can't either. You can't control Alzheimer's. You can't control Down syndrome or autism or Parkinson's or anybody's addiction. You can't control those things. And as long as you keep trying to do it, you're going to end up doing more than slamming a kitchen cabinet door. You know? And by the way, I've done more than that too. I mean, I am the crash test dummy of caregivers. If you can fail at it, I have failed at it. And I have forgotten more mistakes than most of you are going to ever have to make. And I get that. So what I'm hoping that you'll do is learn from this time and have a time that you can, listen to other people try to wrap their minds around something like this so that you as a caregiver can be in a healthier place. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers. It's that simple. And if you're not in a healthy place as a family caregiver, now you think about this. Think about your aging parents or think about your special needs child or think about your spouse who's dealing with such and such. Whatever. Fill in the blank of whoever you're standing between them and worst disaster for and think about, okay, you know, what's the plan if you go down? What's the plan if you're not in a good place physically, fiscally? I mean, if your checkbook is just a disaster area, what's the plan? If you're not in a good place spiritually, who are you listening to? Now, I want you to really think with me on this because the world is offering increasingly more destruction and death and despair. That's pretty much all the world has. Just if it causes you pain, get rid of it. Exhibit number A, the governor of Virginia. You know, are you going to listen to people like that? If you're a parent of a special needs child, and that child is acting in such a way that you're being pushed to the breaking point, and you're going to listen to the governor of Virginia? You know, this is happening around here. People are hearing what's going on in our pop culture and our society and all these things, and they're saying, you know, if I don't want it, I can just get rid of it. Don't think it's not happening, because it is. Just last year, about this time last year, 28-year-old woman, or she was in her 20s, shot and killed her special needs child, then turned a gun on herself, but she was unsuccessful at taking her own life. A little more than a year ago, in Tennessee, a father beat his nonverbal child with autism to death while the mother watched. Kid was 5. Then he told the community kid ran off and everybody's out there looking for the kid. Don't think it's not happening, because it is. And then you've got aging individuals who are taking care of themselves, a spouse taking care of a spouse. And then all of a sudden something just snaps, and then the spouse, and it's usually a man at this point, will turn a gun on his wife and then kill himself. This just happened to one of the owners of the Minnesota Vikings. They had all the money. They had plenty of money. Been married 60 years. But evidently something just happened, and he took her life and then took his own. So if we're not speaking life into these situations, what's the alternative for folks? Where are they going to go? What are they going to do? Who are they going to listen to? Who are you listening to? And so one of the things we're doing on this show is we're committed to going out and just getting right into the nitty-gritty of this thing with caregivers. We want to make sure that you have some path to safety where you know that you can, okay, if I can just get to here, I can catch my breath for a minute. And you can. You can. We're not going to solve these things. You're not going to make my wife's legs grow back. I'm not going to fix your situation. But what I can do is point you to a place of safety based on years of experience. I've been doing this 33 years. It's still going on. And I've had people intersect me over the years and help me navigate to place. But what I've done is I've aggregated all of that into one condensed message for you as a family caregiver. And it all stems from the light of the gospel. Now, I want you to hear something I'm getting ready to tell you. My wife has a lot of scars. Her body was busted up in this wreck she had 83 years back in 1983, 83 years ago. My wife's going to beat me for that one. And she has so many scars. But her scars are temporary. Now, you need to hear that. Her scars are temporary. But our Savior's scars are not. See, one day, all this is going to be made new for her. She's not going to have this anymore. But the scars in his hands, in his feet, those are eternal. And they have eternal significance. They have life-changing significance for you. And that is why we have hope as caregivers. This is not the end of the story. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. This is Hope for the Caregiver. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. The book is Hope for the Caregiver. The website, the YouTube channel, the show, it's all there. And it's that conviction that you can live a calmer, healthier, and even more joyful life while dealing with harsh realities. You can do this. We're going to talk more about it. 888-589-8840. We'll be right back.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries, and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me. But over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
Welcome back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Hope for the Caregiver on American Family Radio. We are thrilled to have you with us, to be able to connect to you as a caregiver. One of the three I's that every caregiver deals with is the loss of independence. We lose our identity, and we become isolated. Okay? And in that isolation, dark thoughts can overtake us. How are you doing? How are you doing with that? Those dark thoughts, struggling, and they can come in a variety of ways and variety of issues, and it's a and they can take us down in some bad places. I know, been there, done that. I am the crash test dummy of caregivers. If you can fail at it, I failed at it, but you don't have to. You can learn from those. I've always found it's helpful to listen to a lot of people with scars, because you can avoid how they got theirs, you know? And, that's kind of the point of what we're doing here. 888-589-8840. If you want to be a part of the show, are you struggling with this right now? Are you caring for somebody that is, non-responsive to you, or responding in an abusive manner? In a way that is beating you down? And if that's what's going on in your life, where are you getting tanked up? Who are you listening to? Where are you going to recalibrate your thinking? You know, and that's part of what we have to do as caregivers. We have to recalibrate the way we think. And we have to change the way we look at a situation. You realize that, let me give you an example. Gracie doesn't have any legs below the knee, my wife. If I cut my foot, is it inappropriate for me to talk about my foot being cut and seek attention from my foot, just because I don't want to say anything, because she doesn't have any feet? And it's kind of, you know, that, well, who am I to complain about my cut foot when she doesn't have any feet? Well, I'll tell you exactly who I am to talk about my cut foot. I'm the guy that's got the feet that she's depending on. So it's not only appropriate, it's imperative that I deal with the injury to my own foot so that I can better care for her. And I'm not doing her any favors if I'm simply allowing myself to go along with a festering problem. And neither are you. And so you're not responsible for what happened to your loved one. You didn't do this. You can't change it. You can't cure it. You can't fix it. Here's a little test. Look down at your hands. Do you see nail prints? No? Well, then this is not for you to fix, but you are a steward of it, and you could be a good steward of this. And all you have to do is keep reminding yourself of what your role is in this. If you're doing it out of obligation, then it's only a matter of time before you start doing it with resentment. But if you're doing it with stewardship, understanding that this is not yours to fix, but you're doing the best that you can with it, and you leave the results to God. Because God owns this, not you. Gracie got hurt before I met her. I didn't do this to her. I've done my own stuff. I've had to make amends for a lot of things, and I've caused a lot of pain and trauma my own self. But I can't fix amputation. And I can't fix chronic pain. I can't fix somebody with 200 breaks. But that's not my job. My job is to care for her. And the more you do this, the more you realize that there are things in your life that are going to bubble to the surface that God will show you. You deal with those things and you find out, you turn around one day and you realize, wait a minute, I'm a little bit stronger. I'm a little bit healthier. I'm getting better in this. I'm a little wiser. I'm understanding things. I can love in a deeper place. I told somebody the other day, I was doing an interview. I've been a pianist since I was a kid, majored in music and so forth. And I love the way I play the piano now. I love the way I write. I love the things I talk about now. I just hate how I got here. But that's the whole thing. I can appreciate things of beauty and appreciate things of value much more than I could before going through this. And suffering can do this. And watching somebody suffer can do this. And this is what the goal is of this show, is to help you walk through that so you're not doing it alone and not listening to really dark thoughts that'll come from, you know, the world, basically. They're not going to offer you anything that's positive. They'll talk about things like take care of yourself or whatever. That's great. Thank you for that basic information. We're going to point you to the hope of the gospel. What does the gospel mean in this? What does it mean to be a Christian in this? What does it mean to trust Jesus in this? What does it mean when your scared hand is being held by his scarred hand? What does all that mean? And that's what we're going to talk about. Mark, I'm going to try to take a call here. I know you're having some trouble screening right now, but I'm going to try to take a call here, and let's just go for it. Good morning. How are you feeling?
Good morning. I'm Carol. I'm good. Carol, thank you.
Carol, thank you for calling. Oh, so you're good. So where are you, by the way?
Well, I was calling just to testify about my experience of homeschooling 3 children for 9 years and the scripture that the Lord gave me.
Well, now, Carol, are you a caregiver for one of these children?
No. No, they're okay. All healthy children.
Have you been a caregiver?
Yes. Well, okay. Yes, I raised 3 kids and I homeschooled
them. No, have you been years. Have you been a caregiver of somebody with a chronic impairment?
No.
Okay. Well, that's what we do here. That's what we're talking about is family members who are taking care of somebody who is dealing with a chronic impairment or aging or disabled or things such as that. You're tracking with me? But I sure do appreciate you calling about that because I think it's important that you do that. And obviously, you're very committed in your work there as a mother, but if it's okay with you, I'm going to go ahead and focus on the folks that have been caring for impaired loved ones because that's really that focus of what we do here. But it means a lot that you called, okay? And I do appreciate that very much. And that's what the show is for, is about individuals who are caring for chronically impaired loved ones. Whether you're dealing with something that is trauma-related or suffering, anything of impairment, that's kind of where we go with this because that's the person we want to reach. And as parents, we all go through things as when taking care of children and so forth and that. But those children are going to get older and they're going to get wiser and they're going to get stronger and healthier and be self-sufficient. And some of the things overlap, but the point of dealing with a chronic impairment is that you know it's not going to get better. It's probably going to get worse. And it's going to weigh on you pretty heavily. And so one of the things that we want to do is make sure that those individuals have a time to be able to talk about this. There's 168 hours in the week, and this is the show for caregivers. This is the 1 hour for caregivers. So we're going to be very stingy and jealous with that time for the family caregiver because we don't want them to lose themselves in it. A lot of times caregivers will just completely lose themselves in someone else's life, in someone else's story. It's that loss of identity we're talking about, and I'll prove it to you. Ask the caregiver, how are you doing? and they'll say, well, you know, he's had a bad night, or she's not doing too well, or our situation is this, or, you know, name it. But they won't speak in first person singular. And so that's one of the things that I do on this show, is ask each caller and ask you as a listener, how are you doing? How do you feel? What's going on with you? And you may stutter and stammer as you get the words out. It may be difficult for you to get those words out. And that's okay. That's what this show is for, because I want you to learn to speak in your own voice. And I remember one time when my pastor asked me, and he said, by the way, for those of you watching on Facebook Live, and you're certainly welcome to stream along on Facebook Live at Hope for the Caregiver, I'm out in a little church in Montana now. We've moved to Montana. And I got up this morning to do the show, and I do the show up at the house, and the power was out. And I thought, well, this is not cool. And I was thinking, okay, what are we going to do here? Then I realized that the car was in the garage. Okay, this is really not cool. And then the power came on, but I made the decision at the point to come down here and do it in the valley near Ennis, Montana. And I decided to come on down very early in the morning, and I saw that they were working on the power line, so I made the right call. But it was a kind of a, oh, what am I going to do kind of moment here. And But I remember years ago when I was playing in Nashville, Tennessee at my church, and my pastor came and asked me to start playing as people were coming into the service, just to create a more, you know, reverent atmosphere and so forth. And I did, but I've been accompanying Gracie for years. Gracie's a no-kidding singer, and wait till you hear some of the stuff that will be coming out later on this summer. She's got a duet with Russ Taff that we'll be releasing here soon, and she's done a couple with Johnny Erickson Tata, and then she's got her own record she's putting together. So it's really great what's getting ready to come down the pike with her. But she and I have been doing music together for 30-plus years. And as I sat down at the piano, I started playing hymns that I've known for a lifetime, but I wasn't playing the melody. And so as I was playing great chords, and as we say in Nashville, great changes, but nobody knew what I was playing. And I had to go back and teach myself to play the melody, because I was hearing Gracie's voice in my head, and I was playing around her voice. That's what we do as caregivers. That's exactly what we do as caregivers. And so we have to learn how to play the melody. We have to learn how to go back and speak in our own voice. Are you having a hard time doing that? Is that hard for you to speak in your own voice? Well, this is the place to learn. This is the place to work this out. This is a show for caregivers, and as you can see, I'm very specific on that. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We're going to get to calls here in the next segment. Thanks so much. This is Peter Rosenberger. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me, but over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. Please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
Back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Hope for the Caregiver. You can follow along on Facebook Live if you want to at Hope for the Caregiver, and you can also go to our website, hopeforthecaregiver.com, the podcast there. Please subscribe to it. It is free. And we put out the show. We put out all types of different things with it as well. The books are there. The book is Hope for the Caregiver. And my newest book is 7 Caregiver Landmines and How You Can Avoid Them. These are easy books to read. I wrote them specifically for a caregiver in a, so you can take it to the hospital, the doctor's office, whatever. And it's super simple. You can stick it, the 7 Caregiver Landmines, you can just put it in your pocket or your purse or whatever and carry it with you. And just remind yourself of these landmines that we can all fall into. I give you, we've talked about two of them today, loss of identity and isolation. And another one is thinking that it's all up to me. And it's not. It's not all up to you. It's not all up to me. And these are things that I want to help caregivers retrain their mind on how to think about this so that they can do the long haul, because otherwise you're going to burn out of this thing. I promise you will. If you don't think you will, you know, give it time. I know people that have called up sometimes and they'll say, oh, I'm just blessed to be doing this. Well, they hadn't done it long enough, you know, because when you're saying things like that, well, never mind. I'll probably get some letters about that one. So if you want to send a letter about that, send it to peter@theinternet.google. No, I'm just kidding. All right, let's go to the phones here. Mark's having a little bit of time screening them, so we're just going to kind of go cold into these things here. Good morning. This is Peter. How are you feeling? Hello. Good morning. How are you feeling?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Tell me your name. I am supposed to be disabled. I'm not doing very well this morning.
Okay. Are you a caregiver?
I've been disabled.
Who are you caring for?
I'm my husband.
Okay. So you're not doing too well this morning?
I'm disabled myself, and I was trying to move some boxes in the garage, but my husband, I'm watching him get weaker and weaker every day. He can barely walk. He can't go to the store without someone even saying, with just some pop and a lampshade, he breaks out in a sweat. His platelets are like 70. He may have leukemia. He refuses to go to a doctor, oncologist. He doesn't want help. He says, if I want to sit here and die, that's my right. But I am disabled myself. I knock myself out in the garage trying to pull a box because he can't even lift a box. I knock myself out. Don't know how long I was out, but I screamed for 20 minutes. He couldn't hear me because he's hard of hearing, but he won't go to the doctor for that either.
All right. Let's back up. Let's back up.
I've had.
Hold on. Well, hold on. Let's back up just a little bit. Let's back up a little. And hold on. Go ahead and potter back up, Mark.
I can't make him go to the doctor.
You're right. You can't.
He's got leukemia.
You're right. You can't. Whoops. We've lost the call there, and we're having a little bit of technical problems. Let me just go ahead and answer this. Carol, you can't make him go to the doctor. You cannot make him go check out his hearing or anything. And if he wants to sit there and die, that's what he needs to do. I mean, that's what he wants to do, and that's what he feels like he needs to do. You can't stop that from happening. What you can do is go to your own doctor. What you can do is do things that are safer for you. What you can do are healthier things for you. And if you're going to be out in the garage lifting boxes and run the risk of knocking yourself out, then you need to have a better backup plan than him. And if you count on him for anything, it's only going to get worse. And so your starting point here is not sit there focusing so much on him and what he's doing. As sad as that is, he may not make it, but you have to. And I'm sorry. I am. I hurt with you. I think we all can hurt with you because we know that that's got to be an incredibly frustrating, heartbreaking thing to watch. But it's not going to make it any better if you're laying in the garage passed out because you're not being cared for either. And so your starting point is to say, okay, he's evidently checking out, but I can't. And that's where I'm hoping that you can get to where you can start thinking through these things and realize, okay, I can't count on him. I can't count on him to come for me and help me, even if I'm screaming because he's hard of hearing and he won't get it checked out. So you don't put yourself in a position like that where you've got to reach out to him. You keep your phone on you at all times. You have other people that you call. That's how you do it. And that's what's going to have to happen here. Let's go to... good morning. I don't have... Mark's having a little bit of technical difficulty screening call, so we're just going in cold. This is Peter. Good morning. Who are you, and how are you feeling?
Hi, my name is Marilyn.
Hey, Marilyn. How are you feeling?
Hey. Sad. I moved home to take care of my mother in 2008, and she just went home to be with the Lord the second of this month. She had Alzheimer's, and the last 3.5 years she was in a wonderful nursing facility. But I just wanted to tell people that when their loved one, even if you know they're in heaven, my life still feels like if I go to a store, I think, oh, I need to get something for mother, and it's not like mom doesn't need that anymore. So it's hard to let go of that caregiving mentality.
Well, I'm going to have to trust you on that one, and I believe you, by the way. I've never let go of it because I've been doing it for 33 years, but I've got a theory, and you're the perfect person to help me see if my theory is right.
Okay.
I think that there is an element of PTSD that comes with being a caregiver. And then when it's over, that it's going to take a long time to kind of detox. And that's not really the right word for it, but it's going to take a long time to recalibrate your body, your life, your heart, your brain, and everything, because you're so into that routine of doing stuff and you don't know what to do with free time. You don't know what to do to be still. And does that sound right?
Yes, it's absolutely. It's like she's still here. You'll feel like you're still, you know, like all the millions of things you need to do because your lovely wife is still at home with you. You know, all the things that you would be doing, your mind is still in that mode. Yes, it's exactly.
Well,
I hadn't thought of it that way, but yeah.
And she's only been gone for just, you know, a week or
10 days. Yeah.
Yeah, and so give yourself some time.
Yeah.
You know, give yourself some time. Let me ask you this. What are you, you're in a good church situation?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes, my pastor's, you know, come to visit her, and yes, absolutely wonderful.
Did they come to visit you?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Because a lot of times they'll come visit the infirm one, but they'll overlook the person standing in the corner. And,
well, that's true.
Well, and I'm glad,
you know,
I'm glad to hear
well.
That. Glad to hear that.
I just wanted to mention to people that you're, once your loved one is not here anymore, it's like the PTSD, which I don't know. Yeah, that analogy kind of stands in my life. You don't really know exactly what to do. Now, I know now that, you know, there are all kinds of things to deal with that need to be dealt with, like, you know, just estate recovery, if Medicaid could come take.
Yeah, there's a lot of
just things.
Legal
yeah.
and financial stuff. Well, let me ask you another question. Are you going to any kind of grief therapy or grief counseling or grief support group?
No.
Would you be willing to?
Sure.
There are programs out there around the country like Grief Share and all that kind of stuff that are they're really good programs, and it's not there to just you know feel sorry for yourself. It's there to be in a group of people who can all work through this thing to get stronger. It's too much to kind of bear by yourself, you know. And
who does Grief Share? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, go out and Google it. I don't know where are you, by the way, because I don't have a thing
Rock.
In front of me on
Little Rock.
Mm-hmm. I am 99.9% sure there are Grief Share being done all through the Little Rock area, and you could probably just go out and Google it. And
I will do. I'll do DuckDuckGo it.
and do that too. And my friend John, who's watching this, he's a big fan of that too. So I'll just do a shout out to him. Absolutely. Because he's the one that put me on DuckDuckGo, so I like your style on that.
It's the best.
But do explore that, because I don't think it's one of those things where you can just kind of assume, okay, now that my mother has gone and I know she's with Jesus and all that, that I'm just going to be fine. Because that's not, you're not going to be fine. Your body and your heart and your mind and your spirit and everything else has been consumed with this, and give it the respect it deserves by processing that out as long as it takes. Don't be in a hurry either.
Okay, good idea, and I'll do that right away. But I just wanted to call and let people know it just lingers. Oh, I need to do this for Mom. I need to get nail polish. You know, just like all the things, like she's still there. And it was a lot. Well, it was a joy to have her for so long. She always knew who I was. It was a joy. I mean, she was a joy there. And every day I would pray that she would find favor with everyone that she met. You'll love this. And she was in a wheelchair, because she wouldn't do her knee therapy. And but at any rate, she would go around and tell everyone, "You're beautiful, I love you," to everyone.
Hang on to those things as you walk through your own grief on this. Hang on to those moments, okay?
Absolutely.
And
thank you.
And thank you for taking the time to call and share this. And feel free to call back and just let us know how you're doing.
I'll do it. And thank you for this show. It's awesome. We appreciate
it. Well, you're quite welcome. Thank you. All right. Good morning. This is Peter. You're on the show. And tell me your name and where you're from.
Peter, good morning. My name's Homer. I'm from Homer, Oklahoma. Hey, good morning.
Yes. How are you feeling this morning, Homer?
Just buoyant. I'm looking out on a sunny morning, beautiful landscape, and just
buoyant.
For the benefit of the listeners, I have been a caregiver. I have suffered loss, and my faith is strong. Many outlets, many resources have presented themselves, elevating my hope biblically. God has definitely granted me a grace.
Well, great to hear that. Homer, we are up against a break here, and I've got to go, but I want you to know it means a lot to hear from you again. Thank you for calling on that. We'll be back in just a moment. Hey, this is Peter Rosenberger. Have you ever helped somebody walk for the first time? I've had that privilege many times through our organization, Standing with Hope. When my wife, Gracie, gave up both of her legs following this horrible wreck that she had as a teenager, and she tried to save them for years, and it just wouldn't work out, and finally she relinquished them and thought, wow, this is it. I mean, I don't have any legs anymore. What can God do with that? And then she had this vision for using prosthetic limbs as a means of sharing the gospel, to put legs on her fellow amputees, and that's what we've been doing now since 2005 with Standing with Hope. We work in the West African country of Ghana, and you can be a part of that through supplies, through supporting team members, through supporting the work that we're doing over there. You could designate a limb. There's all kinds of ways that you could be a part of giving the gift that keeps on walking at standingwithhope.com. Would you take a moment to go out to standingwithhope.com and see how you can give? They go walking and leaping and praising God. You can be a part of that at standingwithhope.com.
Here's Dr. Carl Truman from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
The early church fathers viewed the scriptures as divinely inspired. Often they would use the image of a musical instrument, as if scripture had been written in the way that, say, notes come out of a flute when it's played by a flute player, as if the writer was the flute and the spirit was that which was creating the tune. Certainly they regarded scripture as authoritative. When you look at the writings of the Apostolic Fathers, they're very happy to quote scripture and consider that to have closed down the argument. So obviously the Apostolic Fathers rooted tremendous authority in the actual words of scripture itself, which implies they had a very high view of its inspiration.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org.
Back to the show for caregivers about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. I am so glad you're with us. Hopeforthecaregiver.com. 888 589-8840. By the way, when you call, Mark has told me, our producer here has told me that we're having a little bit of problem with the call screening. So what he will do is he'll just answer the call and put you on hold for the show. And we're doing the best we can. Normally we'll try to connect up with you before you come on the air. And if you seem a little disjuncted with that, that's why. No explanation. Mark will get on it. We'll have top men getting on this. Top men. That's from Raiders of the Lost Ark. So for those of you who are paying attention on that one. Also, I want to remind you, if you want to be a part of this show in a different way and help us stay on the air and do the things that we do, Standing with Hope, you just heard the spot for it. Standing with Hope is the presenting sponsor of this show. And it's the ministry Gracie and I founded many, many years ago. When she gave up her legs, she wanted to be able to provide quality prosthetic limbs to her fellow amputees. And we started doing that 15 years ago in West Africa. And we have an amazing program where we'll take used prostheses and they go to a local prison in Tennessee. The inmates will volunteer to recycle them. They'll strip them down all the way, sometimes down to the screw level. We'll take all the recyclable materials and send them over to West Africa along with purchase materials that we're due. And then we train and equip local workers how to build their own prostheses for their own people. And it's been a great program, very successful. And then we launched the whole caregiver outreach. So the two programs that we have are for the wounded and those who care for them. And you can be a part of that today at standingwithhope.com. And I would just encourage you to go out there and look around, see what we do, why we do it. Listen to what's going on. There's newsletters, there's podcasts, all those things, and just so many things out there. Standingwithhope.com. All right, let's go to the call. This is Peter. Good morning. How are you feeling? Tell me who you are and where you're from.
Are you talking to me? Hard to tell.
I am indeed. I know we're having a little bit of call screening technical difficulties here, so you're on.
Yeah, it's good. It was just hard to tell. I'm calling from North Carolina. And I guess more of two things.
Well,
more
but first off, comment. Tell me your name, and then how are you feeling?
Well, my name is Kay, and I'm kind of sad, and sometimes just more tired and weary, you know. And
I do.
My situation. I mean, I've been a caregiver more than once in my life. My mom had cancer and died when I was 28. Then my father. 5 years later, he stroked. And then my wonderful husband with PTSD and a chronic pain syndrome from a whiplash injury. So he's functional, but, you know, you try not to grow weary doing good, and you hold on to faith, and you know, you're in a body, and you share. But I think the hardest thing is that Christians are really afraid to admit that it's hard, that you feel sad, that you feel angry, because you give yourself that guilt about you're not supposed to feel this way because you're a Christian and you don't have faith if you can't do this. And it was more of a comment to share to let people know it's okay to admit it, because I don't think we allow ourselves that.
I think it's not only okay, I think it's imperative. I think it's critical to admit it. I mean, that's where we're going to have real conversations here. We're not going to try to dress it up with Christianese and God talk. I've had people call in and I say, how are you doing? Oh, I'm just blessed, but I hate my mama. You know, that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah,
and
no.
God talk here.
I agree. It's not that, oh, it's a blessing. It's hard. And sometimes you do better than others, you know, depending on the moments of the day. But overall, it's a pretty challenge. And when it's long-term and there is no end, you know, something that's chronic in nature that's never going to end, you have to find the balance. And I guess that's the being honest and accepting, you know, the comfort of friends and being able to be vulnerable, I think, is hard because you feel like you got to hold it all together and you can't.
Well, and that's one of the things that we address on the show on a regular basis. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think we do feel like as caregivers that it's all up to us. That's one of the landmines in my book, Seven Caregiver Landmines. It's all up to me. And it's not all up to me. That's a landmine. That is a dangerous place to go to. That is when things start happening that will be bad for us. And you've really done an extraordinary job of just illuminating that this morning. And it is sad. It's work. It's sad. It's frustrating. And it starts with the way to work through that is to start being honest with ourselves and say, it's sad, it's work, it's frustrating. And it's not necessarily going to get better. What do you do for you?
So, you know, I personally have been going to counseling. Our church has Grief Share. I have, I'm involved in a ladies Bible study facilitating, which helps me stay plugged into the word, but also my two sisters that I can call, text, cry to, whatever, you know, just really be real in front of. I trust them and I trust their counsel, and I'm still involved in my church on, you know, Sunday service. And I'm just,
what do you do for fun?
I guess for fun. So I ride bikes, I work out, do a little camping.
Well, North Carolina is a great place to do that. I grew up camping out in North Carolina, Western North Carolina. That's a great place to do that. And now
it's
your husband
right now.
It is. Yes, it is. Your husband cannot work out and bike ride and camp and all that with you.
Well, it's interesting because when we were first married and met, both strong walking Christians, both, you know, triathlons, very, very functional. And then when all of this health stuff started kind of popping back up into the picture, you know, a lot of the things that we used to share together are gone. So he's walked away from the Lord because he's hurt and angry, you know, so we don't share that. We don't share the ability to exercise in the way we used to together. And then there's some job stuff that's gone on and changes that some of the things we used to share, you know, because of timing. So lots of things are.
Well, who goes camping with you?
Used to be. Oh, he does. We go together, but we don't go often. You know, it's a function of organization and, you know, schedules and planning and all the stuff that goes into that. So he's functional, but it's just, it's tough with the emotional parts of the landmine. You live in a landmine.
Is his attitude pretty lousy?
Not all the time. It's kind of like you're not sure what you're going to get on a daily basis. So, you know, preparing yourself for what's going to be today.
And you got good people around you that are kind of helping you kind of recalibrate and deal with that. You so that you don't get kind of having to walk around in eggshells around him.
Correct.
That's good. That's very good.
Yeah.
Because that's not a good way to live.
No. And I guess like me calling and everything was more to, I guess, let people know that there are things you can do. And whereas it's not the cure-all, end-all, but how your faith and your walk and your trust in the Lord and being connected helps you through the process. Because if it's not, you know, going to end and it's long-term, then trying to do what you can do for your own spiritual, mental, and physical health is all you can do. And while it's not perfect and while it's not always going to work out as well as you can plan, that it's still going to be okay, even though it's hard.
Do you ever envision yourself reaching a point where you just don't feel like you need to work out anymore?
There are days when I don't really feel like it.
Well, not about feel like you. Are you? Do you ever think that there's a destination place where you said, "Okay, I've worked out enough and I'm done now. I don't ever have to do this again."
Oh no.
Well, it's the same thing with being a caregiver, with being a healthy caregiver, with your Christian walk. There's not a end place here. Mm-mm. I mean, we're going to keep doing this until the day we go home. And not necessarily being a caregiver, but having to recalibrate ourselves, having to push ourselves, having to take care of ourselves, have to work out. It's work. And working out is work. You sweat and it's tiring and you stretch muscles and all those kinds of things. It's work. And but it's not bad work. It's good work.
No, and your faith is strengthened, and your resolve is strengthened, and your trust in the Lord is strengthened, even if you don't always see it in the immediate, because, you know, what happens today has, you know, future positive end results, as well as, you know, heavenly stuff that I don't even understand yet.
Well, I don't think any of us do, but and that's okay. That's why we trust. And if we knew all the answers, right, we wouldn't need to trust. But, you know, I said something at the beginning of the show, and I'm going to say it to you, and I just want to hear your feedback. I say this regularly. The goal is not to feel better. You're not going to feel better about this stuff with your husband, you know, with my wife. She's certainly not going to feel better about all the things she deals with, and neither am I. But the goal is to be better, not feel better.
True.
How does that resonate with you?
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're doing exactly that, that you're being better.
I am. I'm trying.
You're doing a great job. You're doing a great job, and you've inspired me and a bunch of people listening this morning, and I'm very grateful that you took the time to call. It really means a lot.
I hope so.
It does. Listen, we're out of time. We're up against the clock here. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. We'll put the podcast out later, and I'm so glad you're with us. Go out to HopeForTheCaregiver.com for more information. This is Peter Rosenberg. We'll see you next week.